Welcome to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring Coast to Coast AM from May 27th, 1998.
From the high desert and the great American Southwest, I bid you all good evening, good morning, as the case may be across all these many time zones, stretching from the Hawaiian and Tahitian island chains out west, eastward to the Caribbean and the U.S. Virgin Islands, south into South America, north all the way to the Bowl, and worldwide on the internet. This is Coast to Coast AM. Hello there. I'm Art Bell. And we're going to do many things tonight, one of which will be next hour to talk to Robert Ghostwolf. Robert Ghostwolf, with respect to the Seven Thunders. And we've briefly touched on them in previous shows, but never really done a careful examination of what these Seven Thunders are. And believe me, it's thunder indeed. So we'll do that. We'll do open lines this hour. A couple of items to kick us off. President Clinton has turned down Whitewater prosecutors' requests to voluntarily testify in the Monica Lewinsky investigation. So the president is not going to volunteer to testify. The Associated Press has learned that Clinton has declined as many as four or five such invitations since February, citing a variety of reasons. 4 months ago, Clinton vowed to present the facts about his relationship with Lewinsky. Separately today, a federal judge ordered two presidential aides to testify about their consultations with Clinton about Lewinsky. Now, somebody sent this to me while we're on the subject, and I also heard a blurb earlier. Now, I don't have that in the news, but I heard, and maybe it was incorrect, but I heard that Lewinsky was perhaps calling on the president to fire the special prosecutor. Could that be correct? Is that correct? Somebody sent me this. Last summer, the president and Mrs. Clinton were vacationing in their home state of Arkansas. On a venture one day, they stopped at a service station to fill up their car with gas. Even the president would have to do that, right? Seeing that the owner of the station was once Hillary's high school love. So they exchanged clothes, and then the White House couple went on their way. As they were driving on to their final destination, Bill put his arm around Hillary and said, "Well, honey, if you'd stayed with him, you'd now be the wife of a service station owner." She smirked and replied, "No, if I'd stayed with him, he would be president of the United States." Pakistan's getting ready to do it. Latest intelligence indicates they're ready to detonate a nuclear device. Tells us they are about to detonate a nuclear weapon. And there are two ways. Is that nuclear weapons will proliferate and destabilize the region, and the other is they will stabilize the region. We were talking about this a little bit last night with Richard. It really is a very interesting question. And that is the mad scenario a constant? Mutually assured destruction. It kept us from going to war with the Russians or anybody else since the end of the Second World War. And when I say war, I mean, you know, a full out throw everything you got at them kind of war. It has not happened because of mutually assured destruction. So I guess if I were Pakistani, I would want to be exploding a bomb real quick. I don't see how they have any choice. On the other hand, you have to worry about proliferation, and you've got to imagine one day somebody is going to do the unthinkable, right? There are reports, or were reports, in newspapers today that Senator Goldwater's health, already known to be poor, was declining rapidly. His wife, however, said no. Susan Goldwater said, "Barry and God will decide when it's time, and you can imagine who will have the last word." I have all my life admired Barry Goldwater. and I had hoped that before he leaves us, I'd have an opportunity to interview him. He's a ham, as I am. But I understand his health is declining. And I've always admired his steadfast willingness to say any damn thing he wants to say, you know. I really enjoy that in a person. And I try to do a bit of it myself when I can. As scientists have shown, check this out, folks, for the first time, solar flares produce seismic waves in the sun's interior that resemble those created by earthquakes here on Earth. They observed a flare-generated solar quake that contained about 40,000 times the energy released in the 1906 earthquake that devastated San Francisco. As a matter of fact, the size of the quake, if here on Earth, Richter scale-wise, would be 11.3 on the Richter scale. Now that's a quake. That's a real quake. So they're now talking about earthquakes on the sun. Surprised am I? No. Japan is about to send a small unmanned spacecraft to Mars. That's right. Japan will send a small unmanned spacecraft to Mars in July for a 2-year exploratory mission. Now, this is from Kyoto News Service. The spacecraft to be launched July 4th is going to be one of the smallest ever flown to Mars. They gave no dimensions. The craft will be launched some 616 miles southwest of Tokyo. The Planet B spacecraft, developed by the Institute of Space and Aeronautical Science Division of Education Ministry, will be launched by an M5 rocket. Isn't that interesting? What do you suppose the Japanese are launching a rocket to Mars for? Or said another way, what could they possibly see on Mars or do on Mars that we have not already seen or done? Why would the Japanese spend a whole lot of money, and folks, it does cost a lot of money to send anything to Mars, to duplicate an effort that we have already made? That, by the way, was AP from the New York Times. That's really, really something to think about. Why would they do that? Maybe some of you have an answer. Here's a note from somebody who's 20 miles from the Coopville crop patterns in Washington State. And he says, I went out there today to check them out. I knew they would after I aired this last night. As stated by your guest last night, they're not circles at all, but about 40 acres of patterns and shapes with an overall rectangle shape or outline. I hope someone gets an aerial shot to see if they really fit together. There's a large hill above them, but it's still hard to see explicit shapes. This is a winter wheat field, and the stalks are about 3 feet high. There was an access road that enters the field, and the patterns take off and are scattered over that acreage. If they are man-made, it would take an awful lot of people, or very few, a very long time to produce this. On inspection of the wheat, it does appear strange the way it lays down. Most curious was the way it laid down in two or more directions. For instance, this one small patch at the north end of the field was about 12 feet across. All the stalks on the left side of the pattern were bent or flattened west to east. The other half bent nearly exactly 45 degrees in a northeast to southwest direction. All straight. And the two directions gave the wheat a braided appearance. This is a rural area by no means. The field borders a major highway, and there would have been several residences that overlook the fields. I'd be curious to know if the occupants of the houses noticed the changes, seen or heard anything at all, or have these patterns appeared in other years. There was an official-looking white Suburban above the site. It was unmarked, but it had several antennae on the roof. I assume some sort of government, local, or whatever. According to a couple I met, there is supposed to be another site nearby. They visited there, said it was smaller, but similar. About 5 miles away, I found another field with flattened patterns. This is yet a different field, as it is grass or hay. The patterns were well laid within the field, not near the perimeters, as with the wheat fields, walked the field, and there was no sign of any other entry. I made the only track in and out of the field. If these patterns were man-made, they came and left from above. That's from Patrick. Thank you, Patrick. And there are several people who have gone out to see the fields that we talked about yesterday. Very, very interesting. Hey, listen, if you're down in San Antonio, Texas, a guest I'm going to have on next Friday, I've had him on before, I know you really enjoy him, Lloyd Pye. Lloyd Pye is going to be speaking at the Art Bell Chat Club in San Antone at the Unlimited Thought Bookstore. It's a good name, isn't it? Unlimited Thought. I like the concept. And he'll also be my guest on the 5th, as I said. That's next Friday night, Saturday morning. If you want to see Lloyd Pye, and he is a fascinating guy, you're going to want to make your way over to the Unlimited Thought Bookstore in San Antonio. All right, I'm going to break here, and then we'll come back, and we will begin to take calls. Anything you want to talk about, of course, is fair game. I operate by the clock here. I've got to. I mean, when the clock says I break, either I break or they break me. It doesn't matter. By the way, scientists are saying they have discovered another planet, not in our system, but attached, they believe, to a nearby star. So we're getting an awful lot of that. They say it'd be about twice the size of Jupiter, and that is one big mama of a planet. If you know how big Jupiter is, imagine twice the size of Jupiter. Believe me, you would not want to meet any of the beings that evolved on a planet like that. Talk about the Krypton effect. There is enough gravity on Jupiter to turn you into applesauce. And so imagine something twice the size of Jupiter. Now imagine something that walked upright on two legs that has evolved from that planet. It's the unthinkable. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
This is Arnold from St. Paul.
Hello, Arnold.
I wanted to ask a couple questions. First, the response on the thing about Japan. The reason why they're sending that up there is no doubt because they're tired of getting lies from the United States.
They're trying to get what?
They're tired of getting lies.
Lies from the U.S.? You mean from NASA?
About that face on Mars.
Well, wouldn't it be something the Japanese sent up this little craft and it went around? We saw all kinds of things we haven't seen before. It is interesting. Now, most other countries, remember Russia sent a couple, and they all met with some sort of dastardly fate.
I thought France did, too. They were doing some kind of joint mission with England or something a while back. I think it was before they found its face on Mars, a way back.
But honestly, though, all other things equal, don't you consider it strange the Japanese are sending a rocket to Mars? I mean, why? Really, honestly, why?
Well, maybe they're trying to check to see if Mars is Y2K compliant.
All right, well, enough of you. Y2K. I looked at that and I read it and then I thought, well, why would the Japanese send a rocket to Mars? Why? What would they glean that we don't already know times 10? We've had spacecraft crawling along the ground on Mars. We're mapping the planet. We were there oh so long ago. But we know an awful lot. We have an awful lot of photographs and information. What could the Japanese possibly effectively spend their money on that we haven't thought about? West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi. No, you're not. I didn't push the button. Now I did. You're on the air. Hello.
Good evening, Art.
Good evening.
Maybe they didn't have any trouble sending our probe because they knew NASA wasn't going to tell us the truth.
Well, that's what the last guy said.
And
basically, about
just before you left to Egypt, I sent you a couple CDs, and I don't know if you ever got them because I know your mail's backed up.
Backed up.
Tried emailing you once, and...
And the email's full, right?
No, I guess I went through. I was using my friend's computer.
Well, an awful lot of it doesn't. I'm getting so much mail and so much email now that it's almost beyond my capacity to handle.
I bet.
Yeah.
Well, I'd sent you Ian Anderson and Robbie Robertson.
I think I have those, sir.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure you got them.
Yep. Thank you very much. I do. Take care. It really is getting to that point. If you saw how much mail I get, it's brought in giant bins. And effectively, it's almost to the point where I can't handle it. And where even with my wife's help, there's just no way. So, I don't know. I'm doing the best I can. Same with email. It's absolutely astounding. I mean, the volume of email, I don't know how many my box holds, 300 or something. But if I empty them, 2 hours later, it's full again. Can you imagine that? And so it's almost like now there are not enough hours in the day, and I'm not exactly certain, folks, what I'm going to do about that. There are only so many hours in any given day, and the information overload is really beginning to sneak up on me. But I'm going to keep plugging away at it for as long as I can, because you have to read your own mail. Otherwise, you lose touch. We'll be right back. This is Coast to Coast AM, The Deal.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM, from May 27, 1998.
And the devil jumped up on a hickory stump and said, boy, let me tell you what. I guess you didn't know it, but I'm a fiddle player, too. And if you'd care to take a dare, I'll make a bet with you. Now, you play pretty good fiddle, boy, but give the devil his due. I bet a fiddle of gold against your soul, because I think I'm better than you. The boy said, my name's Johnny, and it might be a sin, but I'll take your bet, and you're going to regret, because I'm the best there's ever been. Johnny, rosin up your bow and play your fiddle hard, because hell's broke loose in Georgia, and the devil deals with cards. And if you win, you get this shiny fiddle made of gold, but if you lose, the devil gets your soul.
Listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from May 27th, 1998.
This, of course, is Lorena McKinnon. Saw her in conference in Vancouver. Just like she is right here. Every bit is good. It was awesome. Anyway, hello everybody again. I'm kind of wondering why the Japanese are spending all the money to send a rocket, albeit a small one, to Mars. Somebody faxes right away, Art. You know how they are with cameras. Maybe they'll show us what we want to see. on Mars. George from Ohio. Seriously, though, if you think about this seriously, it is odd. It really is odd. All they could possibly do is duplicate what we have done. So if you're interested in conjecture, and you know me, I'm interested in conjecture. I do it all the time. You've got to imagine that, and we're mapping every part of the planet, so you've got to imagine that the Japanese, what? Don't believe us? I don't know. It's odd. All right. In an open letter, here it is, urging that President Clinton fire Kenneth Starr. Monica Lewinsky's attorneys charged that the Whitewater prosecutor at most, quote, may have succeeded in unmasking a sexual relationship between two consenting adults, end quote. There is a pretty good point here, I suppose, isn't there? In unmasking a sexual relationship among two consenting adults. It better be more than that, or Starr has got a problem. I mean, there's got to be a law, perjury, something somewhere here. Or Starr's in trouble. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hello.
Yeah, how you doing, Art?
Oh, fine.
Great night. I'm looking forward to hearing from Mr. Ghostwolf. By the way, great program last night.
Thank you.
And one of the reasons I'm calling, well, first of all, I promised you about a week ago Tuesday that I'd send you something, and once again it has to do with the mail. I imagine if you get it, you get it. If you don't, you don't. I don't trust the mail myself. But it was a description of a book, Dust, a novel.
How many times have you sent mail and not had it arrive at the other end as it was supposed to? I don't mean just to me, but to anybody.
This past February, twice. I mean, I sent for stamps by mail, you know, where you order stamps to the post office.
Sure.
I sent the letter to them. They lost it.
They lost the letter to the post office?
Yeah, and they really goofed me up twice that month. I mean, really royal. And,
That's I wasn't expecting. That was a good answer.
One of the reasons I called is because I came across something recently. You know, all this talk about the pyramids and hyperdimensional physics.
Yes.
And Egypt. And I've been reading a book. It's a collection of essays. Among the contributors are Dr. Stan Groff, Terence McKenna.
Oh, yes.
And a number of others. It's called Gateway to Inner Space.
And I love Terence. He is so much fun to interview.
Oh, definitely, definitely. I've read so many of his works for so many years, there's always... he just blows me away.
It actually makes it... You want to know something? It makes a lot of people angry. Do you know why? Because, of course, Terence has done... has led a rather pharmaceutical life.
Uh-huh.
And yet he still remains so on top of it, so articulate, it's not exactly a poster point for the war on drugs.
Well, that's we both know where, you and I and so many others know what the war on drugs is about and where it's going.
Yes, we do.
Something I thought you might find really interesting out of this is because you've been in the sarcophagus in the Great Pyramid.
Yes.
I hate to read at you. I've done it too often before, but...
No, don't read to me. Just tell me.
Okay. Basically, what the Great Pyramid was about, Danyon was right about it being a machine.
Uh-huh.
And he said... the Egyptians believed in the reality of human metamorphosis, and it's kind of hard to put this in any other. This is so well done in a single sentence.
All right, a single sentence I can handle.
Okay, they accelerated the metamorphic process towards an other than merely molecular type of body, a body able to function in a higher kind of objectivity, comprehending more than the quinto sensory or five sensory world and the real dream world. In other words, this is a tomb was not known in our nihilistic sense, being called in Egyptian the chamber of transformations.
Well, I can buy that, believe it or not. I know that. Thank you. It's going to sound strange to a lot of people, but I can buy that. The chamber of transformations. Look, I apologize for not being able to tell you adequately, and I still can't. I really can't. What I felt, I lay in the sarcophagus. And there aren't words. There are not words to describe it, and I've thought about it so many times since. There's just not words. If you get a chance to do it yourself. See if you can find words. It is an experience for which there are no words. You knew that you were in some sort of an altered state. That's the best way I can put it. That you knew you were in some sort of altered state. I mean, there was simply no question about it. But to put words to what the feeling was, I haven't been able to do it yet. And I should be able to do it. It's my business to put things in words. And I've actually tried off the air, you know, so I wouldn't make a fool of myself by trying to do it on the air. But I'm still not there. I really don't have words for it. It's fascinating. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hey, what's up, Art?
You, at the moment. Where are you?
That's Philadelphia.
Philadelphia. WPHT.
What's that?
That's WPHT. It's what you're listening to.
Yep, WPHT.
Right.
How's it going?
It's going.
What do you call it?
Turn your radio off, sir.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. Everybody makes that mistake.
Yeah, kind of nervous, you know. First time listener.
All right. Well, it's better your radio isn't on. Just first time listener?
I mean, first time caller.
You are nervous.
Yeah.
All right. What's up?
Highly nervous. I'm very rambunctious type.
Mm-hmm. Well, when I get nervous, it helps me to close my eyes and imagine about 15 million people listening to every single little tiny word that I'm saying.
Right.
Waiting for me to make a mistake. Does that help?
Not my heart's jumping out of my head right now.
You'll get used to it anyway. What's on your mind?
Just calling up saying, you know, I like your show and everything. And it's very interesting.
Well, it is.
And
it is.
I'd like to say about that hyperdimensional space.
Yes.
I think, or hyperdimensional physics, is it?
Yes.
I think you got to die for the answer.
There probably will be people who die for the answer to that one, and I hope it's not all of us.
No.
You know, you remember the De Sitter space the scientist was talking about?
Right.
From Hawaii?
Right.
Just punch one little hole, and we all blink out.
Right. Yeah, I think that's something that's ungraspable. I think you got to kind of go on to the next level.
You mean like death?
Yeah, I think death. I think it's death.
It might be.
In a way.
Look, it's as good a conclusion to come to as any other. Absolutely.
But I enjoy your show. You know, I don't want to leave on a bad note.
Okay.
But the other thing about the Y2K.
Yes.
About controlling computers and stuff like that.
Yes.
I think we'll talk about the Antichrist. Did you see that prophecy show?
Yes. In a way, we're going to have a prophecy show tonight.
Right.
Believe me, Robert Ghostwolf is it's serious prophecy. Oh boy, is it serious!
Right. I missed his last show.
Well, you catch this one. He's describing.
Yeah, I'm around tonight.
What are known as the seven thunders. You don't want to miss it.
Right. Well, they talk about the weather changing and everything, and
yes,
and about the computers. They say the Antichrist was born in 63 in the Gaza Strip.
I'm told that he is alive now,
and that's how he's trying to control it, something like that. You know, he's trying to control it through computers and stuff like that. But I don't know; it's kind of hard to believe sometimes. But I guess stranger things have happened.
What do you suppose the Antichrist is doing right now?
I think he's out in front of his computer probably going crazy.
All right, thank you. In front of his computer going crazy. That's not a bad answer, actually. Anybody else have one? What do you think the Antichrist is doing right now? There are many, many, many who believe the Antichrist is now among us. And so what do you imagine he would be doing right now, the Antichrist? Something evil, huh? East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi.
Yes.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Extinguish your radio and clue us into where you are.
Sure. Calling from Florida.
Florida? Okay.
Yeah, listening on WINZ.
WINZ.
AM down here, 940 on the dial.
That's,
I was listening to Charlie Rose tonight.
That's Miami, in Miami, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, Charlie Rose.
Yes, NASA tomorrow at 1 o'clock is going to release a picture from Hubble detailing an extrasolar satellite.
Detailing a planet. They think they've got a photograph of a planet outside of our solar system. They believe adjacent is, well, I heard on CNN, adjacent to some close star.
Yeah, the fellow that was on, Ed Wheeler of the NASA Origins program, didn't specify the star or any nature of the planet. But
all right, we'll find out tomorrow, though. And twice the size of Jupiter.
I think that's probably been listed in the actually in the print media, that particular star. That was one of the first ones that they discovered. But
well, I'll tell you, that's one big mother of a planet, twice the size of Jupiter. I said a little while ago, and I'll say it again. If you were on Jupiter right now, there'd be enough gravity that you'd be a puddle of goo. And so imagine twice the size of Jupiter, and imagine now a sentient being of some sort that walked upright on 2 feet. If that being ever got here, makes Superman look like a 90-pound weakling.
Yeah, I think it would be pretty interesting. They had another fellow that was on... from Time Magazine, who Michael Lemonick, who just published another book called Other Worlds.
Yes.
And the Ed Wheeler fellow sounded pretty interesting. Some of the new satellites that they're going to be putting up in orbit around 2008 to 2012, looking for some of these extrasolar planets.
Well, they're finding planets right and left. It turns out planets are a common thing, not an uncommon thing. So what that means is that the chances of life are incredibly high.
Well, I've always believed that planets are a lot more common, but that's, you know, human beings, we're just getting out of the medieval era believing that we're the center of the universe. Anyway, it's taken about 500 years to do that.
You mean we're not the center of the universe?
No, I hate to tell the people on the Planet of the Apes, but no, you're not.
Believe it or not, there are a lot of people who will be very disturbed by that concept. We view ourselves as really special, but we may not be really special. We may be just average.
Well, we're special in the sense of we've achieved some degree of success on a relatively small planet on the... What did they say in The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, on the western suburbs of the galaxy?
That's it. All right, my friend. Listen, I've got a scoop, but I appreciate the call.
Are you going to post that picture by any chance on your website?
Oh, I'm sure we will. I hope it's a good one. I hope you can actually discern a planet. That would be really cool.
Well, Wheeler was saying that he's worked on Hubble for 20 years now, and... originally, they would be just happy to get even one little pixel. So I think he's probably got a lot more than one pixel.
Well, the tube will tell the story later tomorrow. Thanks.
All right.
You take care. On the international line, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Art Bell.
Hi. Where are you? Where are you?
I'm calling from Jamaica.
Jamaica?
Yes.
Now that's really cool. Jamaica. Do you know what? I think you're my first caller from Jamaica.
Well, this is the most expensive toll-free call I've ever made. I had to go on vacation to do it.
Well, how's Jamaica?
It's great.
I'm sure it is. So you're on vacation?
Yes, sir.
Poor you. Lucky you. well, good. I'm glad to have you. What's on your mind other than Jamaica?
I was wondering if you've ever interviewed a Dr. Ellen Crystal.
No.
About the Northeast UFO phenomenon.
The Northeast UFO phenomenon. No, I don't think so. But I'd love to.
It's well documented in the papers and radio programs up here in the Northeast on the Hudson Valley.
Uh-huh. Oh, the Hudson Valley, yes, I know about that. And as a matter of fact, I've got a guest coming up on that, so hang in there.
Oh, really?
Oh, sure.
Well, I grew up in a town that they talk about. It's Pine Bush, New York. And she wrote a book called Silent Invasion. And it's well documented.
Well, hang in there. That is a very well documented case, and I am going to have a guest, if not her, somebody on Hudson Valley. Listen, is Jamaica full of native girls and drinks with little umbrellas and lots of sun and sand and all that stuff, or what?
It sure is.
It is.
It sure is.
Well, that gives us, the rest of us, hope. How long are you going to be there?
Till Sunday. I'm here with my wife and my child, so...
Well, please say hello to both of them, and again, you now go down in the record books of Coast to Coast AM as the first call from Jamaica.
I had to figure out some way of getting through.
Well, you have made it, and just under the wire, too, because we're going to the news.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Take care. How about that? The first call from Jamaica. Ham radio operators have a little thing where they try and work all countries, you know. And you get a special little award when you work 100 countries and then 200 and then 300. You get a little award when you've talked to all 50 states. Well, I've done that. But I wonder how many countries I've talked to. And I wonder if there's a talk show award for, like, talking to 100 countries. Probably not. I'm Art Bell. From the high desert, Robert Ghostwolf coming up next with the Seven Thunders. This is Coast to Coast AM. Do yourself a big favor and keep the dial right where it is. And by the way, if you're disturbed by this kind of programming, prophecy, you'll want to tune out now. Otherwise, turn it up.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from May 27, 1998. Presents Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight's program originally aired May 27th, 1998.
Well, good morning. We sort of were general last hour. One of the items we discussed was why Japan is sending a rocket to Mars. They're sending a rocket to Mars, and why? What could the Japanese possibly learn that we have not already learned by crawling on the surface, mapping the surface, taking photographs? You've got to ask yourself, why are the Japanese sending a rocket to Mars? They are. And I think it begs a whole bunch of questions. Here's one answer. Comes from somebody who faxes me without signature. Art, no one knows why Japan's sending another probe to Mars. Perhaps it is just something they yen to do. Tells you, how mystified we are by what they're doing, people writing this kind of stuff. They yen to do it. The yen's about 157 now to the dollar, something like that. Keeps doing this way, it'd be like the old days. Just before we go to Robert Ghostwolf, a couple of program notes that relate to what you're going to hear tonight. Tomorrow night, Don Zadel. He wrote a book called American Man Killers. Folks, this is about the animal world attacking the human population. I'm sure Ghostwolf's ears are pricking up at this one. Listen to just a couple of the points that we're going to discuss tomorrow night. Listen closely. The explosive increase in animal attacks and resultant human deaths. And then this. Missing persons, particularly children, who were in all probability killed and eaten by wild predators. That'll be tomorrow night. And it kind of backs up, it does back up what Ghostwolf has said about, for example, mountain lions beginning to stalk human beings, hunters. And then the following night, we'll have Whitley Strieber. And this is really, really going to be something. Along with Jaime Maussan, who did the 60 Minutes, Mexican version of 60 Minutes, and a volcanologist. And there is breaking news about what's going on in Mexico. One of the volcanoes in Mexico is about to let go. That's what they think. We'll talk about that. There's a lot of volcanism going on in Mexico. I mean, it is really strange what's going on down there. And I know Robert Ghostwolf has something on that tonight as well. So here he is, Robert Ghostwolf. Robert, welcome back to the show, my friend.
How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Tell me, Robert, tell me about yourself. In other words, you are not speaking for any tribe. We always start out by sort of giving that disclaimer. You're not speaking officially for any tribe or any group.
No, I am I'm a Mate, Art. I'm a mixed blood. It's a very simple thing. I work a lot with elders. I've worked with elders all of my life. And I still work with them. I work with a lot of the tribes. I just came back from a week up in Alaska just before your trip, where I was working with the tribes up there working on native rights issues. And they have a few prophecies themselves about things that are coming down, which all seem to correlate with everything else that's going on.
Yes, I heard you were there. Where were you in Alaska?
I was up in Anchorage.
Anchorage. All right.
We did a seminar up there with Nick Begich, and it was a really great show.
Excellent. I love Alaska. I used to live there. Once you've been to Alaska, it's very interesting.
There's no other place like it anywhere.
No, there really isn't. And people just think, wilderness, you know, I've seen it in Oregon or California. No, not like Alaska. Anyway, listen, so your background, your Mate, means your background is what? Mixed blood. What's the blood?
Mixed blood American, Native American and European. So there's Lakota blood in there, there's Iroquois blood in there, there's Italian blood in there, and there's German blood in there.
Lakota, Iroquois, German, and Italian.
Mm-hmm. And if you go to other parts of my family, there's Cherokee.
Cherokee as well.
And I think that you had a guest on the other night, Black Fox.
Yep.
Who explained the Mete situation quite eloquently, actually.
It was very interesting, yes.
And a very gentle soul, and like most people are of that. And so we are what you would call the ghost children.
The ghost children, yes. You know, the whole point of his book, since you brought his name up, was that these ghost children, these Mate, these mixed blood, are now beginning to receive calls to return to their tribes, and the applications to return to tribes are going through the roof suddenly. Pretty bizarre, huh?
Yep, it is.
Quite a change.
Quite a change. But I think everybody right now is searching for their roots. I think that, you know, there's been so much that has been revealed in the last 10 years about bloodlines, about not just Native American, all over the world, the bloodlines of the royal families, the written documents behind the actual Bible and what actually was said versus what's been printed. It's a wonderful time for discovering truth. But unfortunately, truth can be deserting to a lot of people.
May I ask you a question that I asked him?
Go ahead.
And I have found this to be universally true because I've booked a lot of guests. You know, it's my business. And what I've noticed is the elders that you speak of and you speak to that I don't, they don't go on the air, Robert. They won't go on the air. They won't go on the air,
well,
period.
If you wanted to do a show, I could get you probably four or five elders who would be willing to come up on the radio and talk.
Really?
At this time, because they feel, because they feel that we are basically dealing with, regarding the changes in the world the way it is, we're dealing with months.
Months?
Months, not years. We're not talking about the days to come like it's some future experience that's going to come in 100 years and we don't really know when it's going to happen. They feel that we are in the middle of the beginning of what can no longer be altered.
So you're telling me that elders who would not come on before because we're so close now would be willing to?
People feel that their voices have to be heard and the stories have to be heard so that the children of today can have a legacy and at least a direction toward the truth of what they're about and where they come from and what's going to happen. So a lot of those attitudes that existed for a long time, and I think that the attitudes are justified because a lot of the words have been misinterpreted, a lot of the elders have been misrepresented, and they don't necessarily understand the sophistication of the media. I've seen a lot of shows where they'll have elders up there speaking and they chop it up so much that it has nothing to do with what they were saying. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes, of course. Do I know
so
what
they're
saying?
Like, well, I'm not going to go into that because then it looks like I said this and I've seen it and that's not what I said.
All right. Well, you tell them this radio program is not like that. In other words, they will have, A, enough time to say what they want to say, and B, no one's going to edit what they say.
Well, next week I'm going to be talking to the Hopi elders.
Well, look, do
so
it
if
then.
If you want, I'll get to you and...
Here's what I'd like to do, I think.
Okay.
I'd like, if you can get A or two Hopi elders to come on, I'd like to have you on with them.
I will talk to them about that this weekend.
Let's do it.
Okay.
All right. Now, that having been said, obviously you've been talking to the elders. And you, first of all, what are the seven thunders?
There are many prophecies. Many prophecies. I mean, I have two books out now that are just, you know, they're doing really well. People are getting attention from all over the world. I mean, literally all over the world.
I know.
And they only scratch the beginning of the prophecies that I went through, that I learned, that were given to me to hold and to express. And we are now at a point where the other prophecies, meaning that which is hidden within the Mayan records, that which is hidden within the Inca, that which has been hidden within the tribes here in North America that have been held back because of after 500 years of persecution, you learn to keep your mouth shut.
Yeah.
And there are so many things in the prophecies that relate to our previously fixed agenda on what religion was and where everybody came from and how it happened, that it would only result in great detrimental harm to the people who had the stories. There was also, because of the persecution and the genocide that went on here in this country, and it went on all over the place, but what happened here, there were people who would speak about the prophecies and they would literally have their eyes burned out or their tongues cut out. And we're not talking about 100 years ago. I'm talking 30 years ago.
30 years ago?
Yes. And so at that time, nobody was willing to come out. It was too dangerous. But now we're at a point where I think that the elders are looking at what's going on in the world universally, especially what's happening with the children, because it's no longer an isolated situation that's happening somewhere far off the res down in L.A. It's happening right on the reservation. It's happening in Canada. It's happening in Alaska. It's happening in China.
Slow up a little bit. I know about everything For, you know, what occurred in Oregon and what's occurred. I've got a list of the school killings recently, and it's a mile long. Now, I didn't know it was going on the reservation.
Well, actually, for several years now, I've been working with people up in Canada where the suicide rate of the youth up there between the ages of 15 and 18 has been over 50%.
What?
That's right, because they just feel a sense of hopelessness. There's like, where do we go? What do we do? I mean, there is nothing. Everything that we have is a lie. So where do we go?
That's beyond the pale. Over 50% in some tribes in Canada.
Yeah, and I'm not even close to exaggeration. And we're talking about now the situation with many elders. I know there's a tragic thing going on right now up in Alaska where the elders are mortgaging their properties and selling their properties to try to get rights for their own land to operate their own corporations so they can sell their own resources and feed everybody in the tribe. And it's turned into a vicious cycle. We have another really tragic situation going on in San Carlos, Arizona, with the Apache elders down there, where basically you have outside influences and corporate influences
mm-hmm.
coming in and abusing tribal funds, abusing tribal resources. And the thing is, there's a block against a lot of this news getting out. And so they feel that because of situations like that, that they have reached the point of no return, of hopelessness, and that they are more concerned, though, this is the part that's important, they're more concerned about the human element and the fact that the youth of this world, which is tomorrow's future,
yes.
is basically giving up. And if they give up, where are we going to go? What are we going to have? It's like the world that we know is coming to a closure in
yes.
many ways. We're
yes.
going through so many changes so fast that even if you are sitting in the newsrooms of CBS or CNN or listening to the Art Bell Show, it's overwhelming. It's just overwhelming. The sense of malaise and hopelessness is overwhelming. So what they're saying is, why don't we come out and at least let our stories be heard? Because everyone keeps coming and knocking at the doors. And I am talking about elders. I am not talking about people. There are people who resent them wanting to do that. There is a definite, real danger to them doing that, both from the outside and from the inside. So it's a very courageous thing. I just came from working with an 80-something-year-old grandmother. I don't remember her age, up in Cordova, Alaska, who's the last grandmother to speak the language of her tribe. And she's trying to put together a cultural center so that the culture of the people at least stays alive. Otherwise, it will pass with her passing.
My God, what a terrible responsibility to be the last one to speak the language of your tribe and to be in your 80s.
She's...
God.
Yes, it is.
Listen, I want to run something by you that somebody sent me and I can't get out of my mind. You just spoke about all the problems going on in the schools and with the young people. And somebody faxed last night, why is it not reasonable to consider that the behavior of the whales and the dolphins, seemingly suicidal, inexplicable, beaching themselves, killing themselves, they're mammals, why is it not reasonable to conclude that we are being affected by whatever it is that's affecting them?
Are you asking me why it's not conceivable?
Why it's not reasonable?
It's totally reasonable. I think it's total reality.
Yeah, so do I.
We live along with these other beings. Yes, we are mammals. Now, I believe that I've read some scientific reports where they actually say that, for the most part, dolphins are more intelligent than we are.
Well, you know,
they utilize more of their brain than we do.
I've heard that too.
And yes, they feel it. And you know, and then we're missing the whole other point of it is that all life is connected. You know, it sounds in the 70s like you know, some metaphorical utopian concept, but it's a total reality. When you turn around and blow up 5 atomic bombs in the belly of the Earth.
Yep.
then the beings on that earth are going to feel what she's feeling. It's the same way when something happens to someone in your family and you have a premonition that I have to call Uncle Joe.
Right.
And then you call up Uncle Joe and you find out that Uncle Joe's passing or he might have already passed.
Right.
We are interconnected with these feelings. And so we have a situation where we keep plundering the earth, period. Regardless of who's to blame, my purpose here is not to point fingers. It's that we have to change the way we're looking at things. If we are going to make it through the next 4 years, we have to change the way we're looking at things.
Rather quickly.
We better do it last week.
All right. Well, I just, you know, it just struck me, and I have no idea what's causing whales to beach themselves. People speculate about lines of magnetics and...
Well, there are stories of birds committing suicide.
I know. There's all kinds of things you can speculate about, lines of magnetic influence, that sort of thing. You can speculate about chemicals. You can speculate about air pollution, whatever you want to speculate about. But whatever it is, and I don't know what it is, it's reasonable to assume that all mammals are affected.
Well, here's an interesting...
The higher the order, the more the effect.
Here's an interesting thought to think along with that. You have several groups of migratory birds that are no longer returning to their nesting grounds all over North America. You also have a situation going up in Alaska and up along the rivers to Canada where the salmon are not returning to spawn.
I know.
And you also have a situation going on where several indigenous tribes throughout the world have stopped having children. Now, is that a coincidence?
That I didn't know.
Is that a coincidence? I mean, down in Australia, there are many Aboriginal people who have simply stopped having children because they feel it is not a time to bring youth into the world.
All right. Hold it right there. We'll be back after a break here at the bottom of the hour. But think about it. Are all of these behaviors linked? It makes more common sense to imagine they are than to reject it. These aberrant, inexplicable behaviors, are they linked? I'd almost be willing to put money on it.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from May 27th, 1998. Somewhere in Time on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from May 27, 1998.
Good morning. Robert Ghostwolf is my guest, and he'll be right back. We're about to get into the Seven Thunders. It's prophecy. Bear that in mind. It's prophecy. But according to Robert tonight, we are now only months away from it. So close that elders that previously would not come on the air now are going to. Isn't that something? And believe me, that is something, because I've tried. Earlier, last hour, somebody was speculating about, said, was talking about the Antichrist. And there are many who believe the Antichrist is now alive. And I just got the following. Art, because I was asking, what do you suppose the Antichrist is doing right now? I mean, right now, if he's actually alive and on Earth right now, what do you suppose he's doing? Speculation, right? Invitation. Art, the Antichrist is obviously talking to his dad about preparations for taking over the family business. Thanks, Wally. One other quick item. No, I'll hold this for you for a second. We are going to be talking volcanism on Friday with Whitley Strieber. There's some heavy-duty stuff going on in Mexico, and I just got a fax from Ray, who says, Art, volcanoes? You better check out the Mammoth Lakes area. Wow. You want to talk about movement. There are so many dots there in the last 24 hours that the red dots have begun to turn black. Check the website. We've got a link to that, by the way, on my website. So if you want to go see what's going on at Mammoth, they put a little dot wherever there has been earth movement that is magma-related, they believe. Oof. Just a couple of quick things here, Robert, that I would like to read. One, from Canada, Art Stacey from Vancouver here with an interesting tidbit of disappearing food supplies and so forth. As you may know, there's been a bit of a salmon war going up here, on up here, between my country and yours, regarding fishing off the coast. The salmon stock is dwindling to the point of extinction. Tonight, listening to CFON 1410, that's my affiliate in Vancouver, during a news break, the news was reported that the current thinking on the shrinking salmon stock is that global warming has driven the fish further north, out of normal territory. Question must be asked. How will this migration affect the salmon's race memory for returning to its spawning grounds? And one step further, will they find instead that global warming and the changing environment have simply killed off the salmon stock? And would they tell us if that was so? Any comments, Robert?
Well, if you were to go up to Alaska and you were to talk to many of the native people up there, they would tell you that, in fact, many of the rivers that once had salmon are now totally depleted of the salmon.
Oh, I know.
And
they did tell me that.
If they migrate and they move, this is what happens. They simply don't spawn. So what we're talking about is the extinction of life in the oceans.
One other. Art, could you please ask Ghost Wolf? My information tells me that about 2 or 3 years ago, there was one Hopi elder left who still lived on his land the way the Hopi have all through time. I was told when he dies, there'd be no one left living the life taught by the ancients. Is he still alive?
I believe that who they're speaking about is Grandfather Titus. And Titus has passed away. And there was a lot of controversy when Titus left, just prior to his leaving, because in the end, the story goes that what he did was he sang one of the songs that he was not supposed to sing, which would start the earth changes. And he felt that it was time for things to change, because the way the world was going, there wouldn't be a world, and there wouldn't be a people.
All right, so we're going to begin with the Seven Thunders, but again, I want to be sure that I understand.
Well, let me go back to the point of where do they come from. Basically, back in the 80s, I'd say the beginning of the 80s, 82, about then, there was a council, a meeting in the mountains of Taos.
Uh-huh.
It was basically called the Rainbow Walk.
Okay.
And it was started by elders from the Algonquin people of the Northeast.
Right.
And they went around and spoke to the elders of various nations, and where all these different nations got together to bring their prophecies and talk about things that they thought would be occurring, because it was quite evident to them that we were coming into the time of change, that we were coming, that the warnings were starting to come.
That makes sense.
And from there, I remember sitting there listening to, I mean, there were Hopi, there were Lakota, there were Algonquin, there were Cherokee.
They were basically comparing notes on prophecy.
They were comparing notes. And one of the things that they spoke about was the Seven Thunders. And what has happened over the years is that as I would go around and talk about the seven fenders and ask questions about them, I found out that the stories were quite involved and layered, and that there were various prophecies that connected to it. And when I put out my first book, Last Cry, I was already working on the Seven Thunders, which was originally supposed to be part of that book, but the book just got too big. So we put it out in the second book, which is Winds of Change, which is like Volume 2. And what the Seven Thunders had to do with were basically, as the thunder would come from the mountains. There would be a rolling thunder across this earth. There would be a warning each time that the eagle put his talons into the earth and shook it, and there would be a great shaking. And that there would be certain warnings. The first three thunders would be warnings that we would have time to turn around and change our attitudes, to change things. But then by the time the fourth thunder came, if it had to come, in other words, between each thunder, you would have time to change. You would have time to realize what was going on. If you didn't change, another thunder would come. But by the time we hit the fourth thunder, which we've already well into the fourth thunder, by the time you hit the fourth thunder, the course of events could no longer be altered. That they would fall down in a certain manner, and that the world would then become a very strange place. That we would see things that we never thought that we could see. We would see beings that we never thought were there. We would start to have communication again with the stars. We would notice dimensional rips, and the earth itself would create a war with valued life. The earth itself would rebel against what was being done to her.
There are inescapable parallels to the Bible.
Yes.
Inescapable. Absolutely. All right. Let's begin with what already has happened. What was past tense, the first thunder?
The first three thunders, we're starting with the first one, which would be a good place, but the first thunder had to do with the fact that there would be millions of starving children all over the world. They saw millions of starving children and starving people, and that basically the cries of these people would go unanswered. They would be ignored. It would appear that little groups would try to do things, but nothing would ever happen, and that this would start off in a small area, and it would start to spread. And we have seen this, you know, all over the world in what we call in America third world countries.
Yes.
And now we're seeing it back home. We're seeing it right here. Many people in America, I think because we're so media blind, we're so drugged out by movies and media and what the pictures are and what's going on, and we live our life letting everybody do everything for us on TV or in the movies rather than do it ourselves, that we tend to forget that the majority of the world does not live by the American perception. So we have thousands of children in Africa going around starving with Rwanda. We have it in China. We have it in Indonesia. We have it in South America. We have it in Europe. We then would move into the second thunder. The first one was the starving people, where no help would be.
Well, and with regard to nature, there's something too in the first, right? In other words, we'd be pushing nature to the limit.
We would start to go against the laws of nature, and that nature would start to rebel. We would start to see the waters become tainted. We would start to see the trees react. We would start to see the disappearance of certain vegetation.
All right, well, that's long since occurred.
Yes. Then we move into the second thunders. And the second thunder had to do with the coming of the comet.
Hale-Bopp.
Yeah, I was just with him up there in Anchorage. He's an interesting guy. Mr. Bopp.
Oh, Mr. Bopp.
Yeah.
I've talked with Alan Hales many times, but never Thomas Bopp.
He's real interesting. He spent most of his time salmon fishing, but
well,
and he's really trying to set up an incredible program for kids where they can come on and work and learn astronomy through the internet,
mm-hmm.
and set up some telescopes where anybody can come from a school and go in and find out and learn how to use the telescopes through the internet. It's pretty interesting what he's doing.
So then the comet to the Native American was, what's the right word, a warning?
It was a warning that this was what preluded the coming of the purifier. That we would see and I'm going to go to the Hopi end of it because they're most articulate on it, that we would see the twins return to the Earth, and the comet would be known by a blue and a white tail.
It had that.
And it had that. And that the twins would come, one twin works with the North Pole, one twin works with the South Pole. They're the guardians of the entryway to the inner Earth. And that as they came, they would start to move the Earth, they would start to move the frequencies that cause consciousness to work, that there would be changes within our consciousness, within our perception, and within the Earth itself, because, again, all things are connected in a web. It's like,
let me go to science. Are you talking, we talked a little bit about this last night, are you talking about the Schumann resonance frequency, the virtual frequency of the Earth itself?
I'm talking about the frequency of the Earth, but that was a very interesting point that was brought up last night. I am not talking about the Schumann theory.
Okay.
The Schumann theory, to me, is the Schumann theory. It's an interesting theory, and it's based upon one perception of finding out what's going on with frequency based from moving radio waves.
Yeah, one way of measuring something.
It's one way of measuring something.
Right.
But if one was to really want to go into understanding Earth frequency, I would suggest that they read the books on the Mayan prophecies by Jose Aguirre, and they would get into understanding the work of Nikola Tesla.
Right.
Because he actually worked with the frequencies. He understood the frequencies. He made it work. He turned around and produced electricity from the ground,
that's
understanding
right.
how it worked.
That's right.
And many of the principles of the physics that's used in HARP today are programs that were initiated by Tesla. And we find that the Earth frequency is actually somewhere around 10 to 12,000 hertz. Okay? When Tesla worked with energy, he worked above 400 hertz, so it would not have harm to human beings and to other living beings on the planet.
Yes.
He tried to explain this as a warning when they were doing the Philadelphia experiment, saying you can't do this with a 60 hertz power generator. You're going to create too low a frequency. You're going to have grotesque things occur.
They did.
And they did. So, no, I'm not talking about
that.
Schumann theory.
You're talking
about... If we go to the Mayan factor, that's the name of a book. The Mayans talk about that the Earth frequency is 8. They keep referring to it being 8.
8.
Okay, whatever that means. And that we will speed up. That frequency will intensify. And I think that we have a lot of signs today of things speeding up.
No kidding.
I mean, life speeding up, with like where you were saying earlier on the show, there's not enough time in a day to do what we have to do. How did Grandpa do it? We don't know. So we're talking about Earth frequencies changing. And we're talking about electromagnetic pole shifting. If we talk North and South Pole, and we talk about the twins coming back and playing with the pole, well, we definitely have a flux going on with the electromagnetic fields.
We do.
Back and forth, and it's a continuous thing. It's constantly changing. They've constantly got to revamp their equipment on airplanes, on shuttles, on satellites, to keep everything in a balance.
Again, we were talking about that last night scientifically, though, that a lot of what are regarded as constants by science are not constants at all, are now being found not to be constants at all because they're changing.
Yes, yes, absolutely. I thought it was an interesting thing that you and Richard brought up about it was good to hear someone actually say from a scientific neighborhood that the sun had to do with hyperdimensional physics.
Yep.
And like, hooray, we're finally getting people to realize it. And we're dealing with the fact that the sun is affected by planets. The planets affect the sun, not the other way around, because the sun really has a very small degree, maybe 1%, and then the planets are the other 99%. We are going through shifts right now in our solar system where the planets are realigning, where the whole galaxy is literally realigning itself and changing positions. And that, based on what was said last night, now here from another perspective, you're going to see a lot of chaos between now and August.
Now,
August 22nd,
sure.
You've got a situation going on where you've got five planets in alignment pulling on each other. And you've also got an eclipse that's going to last, a solar eclipse that's going to last some 52 hours.
Excuse me? 52 hours?
52 hours. That's a guesstimate. So if it lasts 53, then I was wrong. But it's going to last a lot longer than 2 days. Now, I don't know if that's going to be the whole world. I don't believe it's going to be the whole world. It depends upon the angle of the sun. We go into the third thunder, and the third thunder talks about what had come from the comet that's known as the green mist. Now, I struggled with that one for a while, but I think I have an answer for what the green mist was. And the green mist has got to do with fungus. Fungus that's on the plants, fungus that's in the wheat, fungus that is causing. And it talks about there's a result of this. There would be three devils, three demons. Two of the demons could possibly be controlled, but the third one could not be controlled. And they would cause disease and havoc amongst all life forms. All life forms, because all things need water. When we would reach a point where the animals would start to begin to be born with mutations. And we know well now that we've seen the frogs with five legs, the fish with two heads.
Oh, sure.
The snakes, the rabbits with four ears. I mean, these things now are like all over anybody's newspaper that they can go in. Even up in Spokane, they had it in the newspaper.
That's right.
And they said that when that happens, it would be roughly a year to 2 years before we would start to see that in human beings. And there have been reports of children now being born in Mexico without organs, with extra limbs, without brains. And this would be the beginning of the warning of the fourth thunder. Now, all of these things have happened slowly over a period of years, but they have happened.
No, it's right. We just keep getting the stories, and we sort of, on a daily basis, like a slow-cooking frog, we digest them.
Now we sit, and we're dealing with these little demons, which was a very good word for them, and we're talking about the fungus. Now, why did I say fungus? Well, a lot of the disease that's going on now, and there's a tremendous outbreak of tuberculosis.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody is suffering from respiratory things.
Yes.
The smoke that's coming up from Mexico is coming from fields that have been sprayed. The smoke that came down through Montana and Wyoming.
My God, I never thought about that.
Canada is coming from fields that have been sprayed and used for experimental purposes.
God, I never thought about
that. And I'm saying this now, but if someone wanted to, like, write to me, I have the documentation of all this. It's not just I sat there one day and said, wow.
Look, you don't have to document this. I know full well.
Well, I have scientists and physicists and doctors all over the world who are now starting to write to us and confirm what we're talking about. And I said, well, what are these things? I mean, we try to use the natural means of curing these things, and they seem to have an intelligence of their own.
Robert, people down in Texas are really, really getting sick. It's no joke. People are staying indoors. And the health warnings mean exactly what they say.
The scary thing, Art, and we'll get into it after your break, is that I don't think it's entirely nature.
All right. Great. Great. The third thunder is already occurred, and we're in the fourth. I never thought about that. They sprayed those fields, didn't they? Oh, my.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from May 27th, 1998. listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from May 27th, 1998.
Good morning from the high desert. My guest is Native American Mate Robert Ghost Wolf. We're going to be talking about, well, we are talking about the Seven Thunders. The first three have already occurred, and I'll briefly go over those. And we are now in the fourth. The fourth marks, according to prophecy, the point of no return. That's what I call it, anyway. A time during which, if you have not corrected your ways, what is to come is inevitable. We'll continue with all of that in a moment. Well, all right, the Seven Thunders, this is Native American prophecy, a lot of it Hopi prophecy you're hearing. And we have already gone through the first three thunders. And the first three thunders really have already occurred. For example, number one, testing nature to the limits. We've done that. Definitely have done that, haven't we? Second thunder, and I'm giving, these are very short, there was much more to them. The ocean beginning to die, with marine life escaping to land. Sound familiar? The third thunder, the crossbreeding of animals will begin. Tampering with DNA will begin. Cloning soulless people for slavery. Flesh-eating viruses, no perceivable cure. In the third thunder, we are now in the fourth thunder, and Robert tells me that with the fourth thunder, in essence, I use the phrase, the point of no return. In other words, by the time you're actually in the fourth thunder, it is going to go forward inevitably, Robert?
What is going to occur cannot be reversed. It can only be softened. We can change the outcome.
The degree of it.
The degree of it. If we catch hold of what the fourth thunder is all about, and it comes back, well, we're not quite through with the third thunder yet.
All right.
Because it has to do with the fact that everything on this earth, everything that's doing with living life, organic life, trees, birds, fish, people, flowers, it's all connected to water. And the water and the cycles of the water that move up to the clouds, that come down to the mountains, all the ecosystem is all connected like a fine net, like the little cells inside your hard drive, and if those on a computer, and if those cells are not communicating properly, what you have is a distortion. So what you have now is, going back to the third thunder, and it's not all the earth doing to us, it's more or less what we're doing to the earth and how the earth is reacting. We're coming now to the fact that we have been using since World War II zillions and zillions of tons and gallons of petrochemicals that we convert to fertilizer, that we create to bug sprays. This goes into the soils, and we're seeing the soils becoming devastated and lifeless. They can't support life. Then they come out with something else that's a chemical distortion to try to supercharge the soil with life to create plants that we now eat, that we're now eating the chemicals, the animals are now eating the chemicals, and we're eating food, the animals are eating food that no longer has the minerals, that no longer has the resources that it has to sustain life in a balanced way. We're also seeing as a result of this, as it goes through the water cycle, we're seeing the atmosphere itself start to become diseased. And the atmosphere of the earth is very close in the way that I've been taught to look at it. It is very similar to the skin on the body. It is the largest organ that we have. So the atmosphere, even though we see through it, we think, is basically the largest organ on the earth. And this atmosphere becomes ill. We start to see holes in the sky. Well, what are holes in the ozone? Are they not holes in the sky?
They are.
And this then lets these detrimental radiations and whatnot come down and mingle with life forms here, causing them to further distort in their duplication. Then we have now, we even have holes in the ionosphere that we are plugging in the ionosphere that the scientists say, don't worry, we can close them up. Well, I think I read some stuff by Edgar Casey a long time ago where they did that on Atlantis, and they said the same thing. You are tampering with the natural order of things, not understanding what the natural order is.
You also said something before the news that I want to be sure this audience gets regarding the fires in Mexico and the smoke here in the U.S. Those fires are carrying particulate material from fields that have been really sprayed.
Really sprayed. And we're dealing with things that have been sprayed with chemicals that are recycled from biological warfare, in essence. We're dealing with experiments with plant RNA and human DNA, where they actually, in the fields of wheat up in Canada, tried to see how they could cross these two species. So you're creating now...
Do you mean by that... What do you mean? Human?
Well, what I mean is that plant life basically reproduces itself, and the cells are composed of RNA.
Right.
When you're dealing in the human body or the animal body, you're dealing with DNA.
And they tried to combine all
And they tried to crossbreed the two factors.
Great.
They tried to do this with plant life. They're doing this with plant life all over the place. And where they have experimented with the fields, like in the valleys of California, like in the valleys of Arizona, up in Canada, the wheat that grew as a result could not be used to make bread. Because basically, it was infected with a fungus, and it wouldn't rise.
Wow.
So what they did was, and here's where it gets a little diabolical, what they did was they sold it to pasta companies, because you don't have to make pasta rise.
That's right.
The other thing that they did was they gave it to third world countries, including Native Americans, as surplus food. And now all these people are eating this food with the fungus in them, and they're all developing liver ailments, they're all developing respiratory illness, they're all developing Alzheimer. And so it was like, well, what are they doing? The same thing in another theater is happening to the fields in Mexico. They spray the weeds so that people don't collect organic herbs. They spray them so they don't bring pot up here. So they just fly at random through a jungle and spray a whole section of, you know, several square miles, just dropping the stuff from the sky.
And all of that's burning.
All of this is burning. Now, what is it? What is it is something that you're going to start hearing a lot about now. They're called prions. And the prion is basically your basic protein building block of all life.
Mm-hmm.
And what's happened in the prion is, like, we're getting reports and different sources that are saying, well, we have all these viruses, we recognize the symptoms, we recognize the causes. As a matter of fact, I think they even had a program on 60 Minutes a couple of weeks ago about this subject, where they were talking about they can see the symptoms, they can see what's resulting, but they can't find the virus. Well, they can't find the virus because basically it's mechanical in nature, and what it is a frequency virus. It's called a stealth virus, the same thing that goes into your computer and infects the computer. And when you read these reports side by side, when you look at what they say about what's happening to the computers and how you're losing memory, how programs are locking up, and they refer to hard drive, if you transpose them side by side, what they're saying is what's happening in the human being as symptoms of disease, Alzheimer's, carpal tunnel syndrome, respiratory illness.
I'll give you one.
Okay. They're down, identical.
Down in Los Angeles, they've been running a story. Lynn Mulhall reported on it last Sunday. There is now something called, for lack of a better name, the X-Files disease, whatever that is. Now, that means they have no idea what it is, some kind of virus apparently, where people one day are feeling fine, then the next day they're not feeling so well, they begin to notice symptoms that are typical of the flu, and within 24 hours, they're dead. Their lungs have filled, they have a type of pneumonia, and they're dead. And I know of nothing, and this is killing people in their 20s and 30s, healthy people.
Well, we're working with these for a better word, lack of a better word, I'm going to call them electronic viruses. And the electronic viruses can be easily manipulated by frequency. They're experimenting with this now in new forms of warfare, where HARP is part of that experiment, where they're working with certain frequencies that can cause changes and effects within a human being, everything from emotional to effects that lead them into total disorientation. They come down with strange flu-like symptoms, symptoms that seem to come up out of nowhere.
That's it.
The other thing that a lot of people are suffering from today is something called chronic fatigue, where all of a sudden you're walking along, you feel fine, and then you feel like your legs are going to go out from under you. You feel like you're going to pass out. You just have to lie down. You're wondering what the heck this is.
Right.
And it comes out of nowhere, and then it seems to go for no reason, and then you're fine for a period of time. And then all of a sudden it hits again, and when it hits, it just wells you over.
What do you think it is?
It's absolutely these stealth viruses. It's absolutely electronic-created viruses that are responding to frequencies and experimentation. See, the thing is, we can't look at everything like nature is killing us, everything that's alive is bad, and the gods are punishing us. What we're experiencing now, and this is the important point, I think, that the elders are trying to get across right now and allowing me to talk about, is that what we're seeing is what we're doing ourselves. Because we are not getting the information. People are not finding out about these things. They have people all over the place working on cures for this, but people are as afraid, Art, to come out and talk about what they're discovering as Bob Dean's reluctant to come out and produce the evidence that he has. Because you'll have the men in black pull up to your door, your clinic will be shut down, your practice will be shut down, and you won't be able to work.
So this is all part of the fourth thunder. Another thing that's part of the fourth thunder, the devil winds, you call them, huh?
The beginning of the fourth thunder, we would start to see the devil winds. And the devil winds would be these strange windstorms that would come up out of nowhere and blow beyond 200 miles an hour. Eventually, they would start to pick up. We would see El Nino come, and El Nino not only have any effects in the ocean, where the ocean itself would heat up sometimes 15 and 20 degrees higher than it should be. We would see strange abnormalities going on because of El Nino, where, like on South America, they're experiencing tides that are up to 15 feet higher than they should be. We're seeing entire portions of the coastline of Peru and Colombia washing into the ocean. On the other side of the earth, we're seeing the other extreme of it. We're seeing drought, fires in Australia and in Indonesia. We're seeing very low tides. It's all part of El Nino.
We're seeing something really weird that was on last night's program. I got a fax from a person in Oklahoma who said they had a whole line of tornadoes. And that's not unusual for Oklahoma, of course, but what was weird was these tornadoes were actually going in the opposite direction. And that was confirmed by all, it was a big buzz on the radio, talk radio there on television, that they actually had photographs of the rotation of tornadoes the wrong way. That's almost impossible, but they've got the film.
I'd like to get a copy of that.
Yeah. Hurricanes, which when they're in the west are not hurricanes. Actually, they build to much larger proportions, and I forget what it was, 200 and some odd miles per hour, and they're called typhoons. But we've never seen or recorded winds.
Weren't there just winds about a month or so ago, 6 weeks ago in Indonesia that were in excess of 239 miles an hour?
Yeah.
And I've seen winds in Montana that basically lifted up bleachers in schoolyards and carried them across the football field, and then they were gone. There were tornadoes in Idaho. You don't see tornadoes in Idaho.
There have been tornadoes in the Bay Area.
That's what
I've heard.
There
have been tornadoes all over the country where there ought not be. And, of course, everything gets blamed on El Nino, including the Mexican fires right now. All the rest of it, everything gets blamed on El Nino. And I've got Sandeo in Australia saying, hey, Art, I watch the maps, and guess what? This El Nino may be lightening up, but the other one's cranking up, so it's coming right back.
Well, that's also, I talk about that in Winds of Change, because basically Winds of Change got its name from El Nino. And we are now dealing with El Niño's used to come up every so many years.
4 years.
And now they're coming up right on top of each other.
Correct.
So, again, we have this reaction of the Earth in the physical to everything that's being done. The result of what we're seeing in the emotional stress, we're seeing in the mental fatigue,
yep.
and we're seeing in basically what we could call now, because the world is a global society, we're seeing the decline of a global situation, a global civilization is imploding. And the result is the violence we see on the streets, the violence we see in our homes, the sense of hopelessness that's going on with people going out and working two jobs, not having time to be with their families, and they still can't get out of debt. We're dealing basically with the collapse. This goes back now to the Mayan prophecies, where in this time we would see the collapse of all structures, meaning religious structures, science structures, social structures, and financial structures.
Mm-hmm.
And this is exactly what we are in the middle of now. The result being from the cause, which is the fourth thunder, is that that which made up the consciousness of man that held the world together would begin to implode. When that starts to implode, when you start to lose your spirituality, when you start to lose your connection to the earth, when you start to lose your connection to who you are and how you walk this life, how you walk this path, when you lose that, you implode.
All right, here's a pretty good question, layman's question. If you look from the first to wherever it is we are now in the fourth thunder.
We're actually in the fifth.
We're in the fifth?
We're in the fifth, but we'll get there.
But if you were to look through what we have discussed so far, the first through the fourth.
Right.
What kind of... It's very hard to look ahead or into the future with regard to prophecy, but we can look back on the timeline involved in number one to number four. We can do that.
Yes, we can look back. We can actually see how it occurred.
Yeah, exactly. So when do you think the first began? When do you believe the first began?
I think the first began in the 80s.
In the 80s?
Toward the latter part of the 80s. It was already beginning.
Good Lord. So we've gone from the first through the now into the beginning of the fifth.
Mm-hmm. What's happening now is that the fourth and the fifth are sort of overlaying. Because you've got the collapse of the atmosphere. This is causing all of this harmful radiation to come in. And then you get into science. What is the harmful rays causing? How is it causing cells to mutate?
Yep.
How is it causing animal life to mutate? Why are the rivers lifeless? Why do I go to the woods now? And 10 years ago, I would find 37 herbs. I go now. If I find two growing, I'm lucky. Why is this occurring? Why are life forms disappearing from this earth? Why are there, again, new life forms appearing on the earth? Now, whether Chupacabra is real or whether Chupacabra is a story, we can go back and forth on that.
Sure.
But the one thing that we know that science has already said is that there's new microbes being developed in the oceans. There's new life forms being developed. They're finding new forms of vegetation.
That is
true. They're finding new forms of insect life. So this is now being documented from that level and that perception that new life forms are appearing. So the prophecies are holding true. And the wonderful thing about now, the wonderful thing about looking at this, is we are being given an opportunity to do a life review right here. We don't have to wait till we go to the next world.
All right. Hold it right there. We're at the bottom of the hour. The prophecy is so much on top of us that last hour, Robert Ghost Wolf said there are elders who are going to actually be on my program. It is so close, so much on top of this, they have agreed to appear on the air. And believe me when I tell you, that's really unheard of. So that's ahead of us. Robert Ghost Wolf is here. This is Coast to Coast AM.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from May 27, 1998. Radio Networks presents Art Bell Somewhere in Time. Tonight's program originally aired May 27, 1998.
Boy, I think those words fit right in. Good morning, everybody. Robert Ghostwolf is here, and we are rolling through the Seven Thunders. This is Native American prophecy. What you are hearing is a kind of compilation of Native American prophecies from many tribes that was compared and compiled at a meeting we'll tell you about again in a moment. All right, back to Robert Ghostwolf and the Seven Thunders. And these, again, were a consensus of many elders that met when and where again, Robert?
This is in the Taos Mountains of New Mexico, back in the early 80s.
Back in the early 80s. So this was actually they then made these, came up with these combined prophecies as the first thunder was just about to occur.
They realized that the clock was ticking very fast.
Okay.
And so they came out with the information amongst themselves. Back then, it's taken this long to put them all together and get them into written form. And if I may interject for a moment, because I am getting a strain on my website already, and we don't want to repeat ourselves and blow out the website. Maybe I could give a phone number so people who want to get more of this information or get the books can get it.
You sure can.
They can get the books about what we're talking about, which go into everything we're discussing with a lot more detail.
Okay, I wanted to read this to you. This comes from Ken. It's email. It says, Art, thought you might like some feedback on the Wolf Lodge materials. Yesterday I received the book, manuscript, tape, and photos that I'd ordered from Robert Ghostwolf immediately following his last appearance on Coast. The two volumes are beautiful. They're first class. Also, I was impressed with the fact that the photos were real glossy prints, not the photocopies I'd expected. Robert is one of my favorite guests. He goes on, I appreciate your having him on, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, there you have it. People love them, and it really is extremely high-quality stuff that you put out. So,
thank you.
Thought I'd read that. Anyway, listen, let us now continue. We're in between the fourth and beginning the fifth.
Well, what happens now in the fourth is we begin to see the breakdown of the cosmology of the planet that literally holds the consciousness together. But we also start to see, as this starts to break down, we start to see the discovery of many things that have been kept hidden until this time, if we want to use that terminology, such as ancient cities start to appear. We start to find out about the secrets of the pyramid and the Sphinx. We start to find ancient texts that have been buried for hundreds of years. We start to find, and that goes for all sides. We are seeing that with the Mayan, we're seeing that with the Egyptian, and we're also seeing that in the Judeo-Christian faiths. We're seeing that there's an incredible, incredible book out, Bloodline of the Holy Grail by Sir Lawrence Gardner, who is head of the Celtic Church over in Ireland, and he has put out from actual documents. He's not writing a story. He's simply recording his events of the bloodlines and the events that happened that were basically removed from the Bibles that we're reading today. The Bible itself is an incredible work if you can find one that's whole. And all of these things are coming up to the surface now. The Sphinx that I discovered.
Yeah, so far, everything you've said regarding the fifth thunder, it's already happening.
It's already happening. Now, as we go into the fifth thunder itself, this is where we are now working with, again, the cosmology of the Earth is collapsing. The consciousness.
I want to stop you there. You said consciousness is beginning to collapse. How does that manifest itself? I mean, what are we looking for?
We lived for so long under pretexts of what reality was.
Uh-huh.
We lived for how many hundreds, perhaps thousands of years, listening to what was dictated to us as this is the nature of reality. This is as far as you can go. There is nothing more beyond this. Everything is external. Everything is outside of you, so on and so forth. This is the way it happened. There is no other way it happened. In my books, I go quite extensively into the fact of the prophets who were here on this side of the earth, the Pale Prophet, who many people relate to as the Christ, the Nazarene, who actually walked with the people here. There were written documents to this effect that are all throughout this land. It's written on the rocks in Celtic writing, as a matter of fact. And when we did the show on the Sphinx and some of the petroglyphs that I found, we have deciphered many of those petroglyphs and the Celtic writing that was in the petroglyphs that literally give dates of things that occurred back then that they expect to occur now. They talk about an anomaly that happened with the sun, that the sun swelled up. These are the words used in the Celtic text. And the sun swelled up, and it gave birth to a fire that scorched the earth.
Mm.
Now, if we go back, say, 1,000 years ago, we will find that many of these ancient sites seem to be scorched, like either they were hit with a laser beam or some intense heat. And I would be really interested to go back to some of the ancient writings that Sir Lawrence Gardner has access to, because he's a knight. He can go into places that you and I can't go, and look at these documents and see what they wrote about what happened in that time period. Based on the Native American writings, what happened in that time period is there was what we would today call a solar flare that engulfed many parts of the earth.
Hmm. Let me also back up to the cities. Let me tell you something. Boris Said, Graham Hancock, they just got back from Okinawa, where they're, Boris is telling me there is no question, 100 feet underwater, there is what's left of a city that, you know, they're afraid to date it, but they think it goes back tens of thousands of years.
Square granite slabs.
Oh, yeah. Staircases. I mean, they're finding all kinds of things. It's incredible.
Well, that's part of the incredible part about what's going on. It's like, you know, we have to look at what's not so nice in order to appreciate what is so nice.
Well, or we have to look at the past to know the future. If you look at the past, in other words, there may well have been a civilization that came and went.
Maybe a few.
Maybe a few. That's right.
Maybe they didn't all come from here.
Maybe there's ruins under ruins.
Well, they're going to find that out in Mexico pretty soon.
Yeah, I think so.
That's a strange situation down there, Art, because you've got two volcanoes on top of each other. And the top one, which is the one that's getting ready to burp now, basically will cause the bottom one. And in the prophecies, it speaks about how the tail of the turtle would break. This would be a sign that we were going into the sixth thunder. During the fifth thunder, you would have all these, the fourth thunder, you have the dimensional shifts going on, changes in frequencies. The twins come back. The twins view how we have lived our life, and they give their report to the purifier. The purifier then sets forth and starts to enter into our earthly domain and our little solar system.
What is the purifier?
The purifier is not so much an entity to my perception as it is a time of cleansing and rebirth. We're going back to the earth being a living organism, a living being. She was just shot in the hip with 5 atomic bombs in India. She's feeling that wound. We're feeling that wound. Look at the weather.
Huh.
Every time they do this, there's something with the weather. And based on the information you spoke about last night, I think it might be an interesting thing if you go to the globe and you look at where Mexico is right now, Mexico City, and you look at the volcanic action that's going on there. You're talking about, I think we spoke a little bit earlier, you have ground temperatures in excess of 200 degrees.
You and I spoke about it privately. I know it to be true, yes. 200-degree ground temperatures in Mexico. Actually, you know what? There's actually reports of animals bursting into flames walking on the ground.
Well,
that's freaky.
Yes, that's
really
very
freaky.
Freaky. But go back to Mexico and take your finger and take it on a direct latitude line around to the other side of the earth. And guess what's there? India. Right where they blew the bombs up.
Yeah.
So is this all happening at 19.5?
Yeah, I think so. Pakistan is getting ready to follow suit now. It could be in hours or days.
If they haven't already done it. They have really strange earthquakes going on there.
Yeah. Yep. By the way, Mammoth is going nuts right now, too. So there's a lot of volcanism. The volcanism is, without question, I mean, it's covering a lot of the U.S. right now with smoke, the smoke we talked about.
We've had, since April, 6 volcanoes take off on the surface. Over 20 volcanoes spewing out under the water. We've had it just in the month of May, just in the last 2 weeks, around the Ring of Fire, more than 6 earthquakes greater than a 5 magnitude.
It says, under the 6th and 7th thunders, many undersea volcanoes will erupt. Blowing sulfur breezes, clouds will drop black dust upon cars, huge Canadian Great Lakes and Mississippi Valley volcano action will cause land to rise as high as the Himalayas.
There is a shelf in the Gulf of Mexico that the native people there refer to cities under the Gulf of Mexico called the Cities of Prophecy. And they're supposedly domed cities under the earth. And there's a shelf in there, if we look at the geometry, the geography of the earth, if we look at the configuration of the plates, there's a shelf there very similar to the Himalayas. When you have this volcanic action going on in that area, it will push that plate up, because right now it's pushing against the northern plate. It's pushing up against Louisiana and Texas. There is no place for it to go but up. And according to the prophecies, when this starts, as we start with a chain of events, which I spoke about back in December, which would start in Mexico. It would start with a volcano blowing up in Mexico.
I well remember you said
that. And when that started, it would start a whole chain reaction straight up the California coast. And again, that fault line ends right in the San Juan Islands off Washington State. It would start an action up there, which would kick off seismographic activity in the Cascade Mountains that would not cease, and that we would start to see large portions of land break off and fall into the water. Now, we are seeing that already in South America. We're seeing the other part of the prophecy, which talks about these volcanic reactions and the heating up of the earth because of it.
Yeah,
which is all the Earth's attempt to try to purify everything.
I don't want to give anything away I ought not, and I hope I'm not doing that, but I got a call earlier tonight from Whitley Strieber. We've got a show planned for Friday. Mm-hmm. He will bring on, along with Jaime Mazan, he'll bring on a volcanologist from Mexico who's going to tell us the truth about what's happening there. And part of that truth is they expect, now I call it POCO because I can't pronounce it, they expect that to blow shortly. There's a lot of news that we are not getting about what's going on with volcanoes in Mexico. We're going to get that Friday. But, I mean, that fits, unfortunately, right in.
We are now reacting to what we are doing to the Earth. Have you ever noticed that when something happens over in Asia, within a few days or a week or so, something happens on this side?
Sure.
When we blow something up in India, something happens over here. It's all connected.
I've noticed. I even noticed back when the French did their testing.
Yes. And then we had that huge rip that's gone on in the Pacific Ocean, where the land just literally opened up, and you have billions of gallons an hour pouring into this hole going down into the inner earth. That's a whole other discussion. What is the inner earth? But we are seeing all of this happen. And we are seeing the reaction of our own. You know, we are emotionally connected to the earth. We're emotionally connected to all things. Anyone who's ever driven to the wilds of Montana to live in the wilderness and has walked through a place that they just got through clear cutting, you feel something.
Yep.
Just like you felt something when you were in the king's pyramid.
Sure.
And, I mean, the king's chamber and the pyramid.
That was not easy. I still can't put words to it. And it's probably like that. I mean, I'm sure you're right. I'm sure you feel... Of course we're connected to the earth. Anybody who says not has screws loose, elevators not going to the right floor, whatever.
Well, as we keep blowing these things up, as we keep doing these things, as the earth keeps getting damaged, do we not become more and more of an angry, violent society globally?
Gee, I haven't noticed that.
Oh, I'm glad. It's one thing leads to the other. It's an echo.
That's cynical humor.
It's the echo principle.
Yeah. It also says here, Mount Rainier in Washington will break up the Cascade Ranges. The Pacific Rim will shift into little islands. All ocean forms will be extinguished. All of this will throw...
Well, we are looking right now, because to some people that might, they might say, well, that's a pretty wild supposition. But, you know, we can go back to 1980s when Jacques Cousteau, who they took off the air after he took this stand, turned around and said, 80% of the life in the Mediterranean is dead. 70% of the life in the Atlantic is dead.
Yep.
And now it's going to hit the Pacific. And we talked about that on previous shows, where now we had the red tide coming into Alaska, we had the fish dying,
yes.
We had the whales dying.
Oh, yes.
You have to go farther and farther out. Where they used to have, you know, like you can go, we can go to the Black Sea in Georgia, where they used to have so many different varieties of fish, and now they have two or three. So we're talking about the life forms within the oceans themselves vanishing. And now we're seeing the same thing going on here. My concern is that people, if they don't understand the truth, if they don't read about the truth, start to base it on superstition. Well, it must be the chupacabras that are eating all the bighorn sheep up in the Rockies. No, they're dying off because their food source is dying off. Their food source is polluted. We're dealing with this bacteria, again, this prion that comes with smoke down through Canada, down through Montana, down through Wyoming, where we're seeing the deer drop dead. We're seeing the elk drop dead. Ranchers are freaking out. They're blaming it on a virus that they claim that the buffalo has. And so you have the buffalo wars going on, and in reality, if we could take away their fear and show them the scientific evidence, it has to do with this fungus, with the stuff they're spraying everything with.
And animals, Robert, are attacking humans. You were the one to first tell me that. Now, I've got a guest coming on tomorrow night who confirms everything you said. He's got the stats. Animal attacks against humans are up unbelievably. I thought you'd be interested in that confirmation.
Well, Grandpa Martin once said that one day you'll be having a picnic and the rabbits will attack you.
Hold it right there. We're going to break here at the top of the hour. My guest is Robert Ghost Wolf. And you are listening to not Robert's Thunders, but a compilation of many elders' prophecy and what is not coming, but upon us now. This is Coast to Coast AM.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from May 27th, 1998.
Radio Networks presents Art Bell Somewhere in Time. Tonight's program originally aired May 27th, 1998.
Good morning, everybody. Tomorrow night, Don Zadel and animal attacks on human beings drastically increasing. Friday night, Whitley Strieber, Jaime Maussan, and a Mexican volcanologist, so that you might know what's really going on. Here we go, Robert Ghostwolf back again, and we're going to try and bear in on the phones in this segment, if that's okay with you, Robert.
Let's go.
All right, here we go. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Robert Ghostwolf. Hi.
Hey, it's great to talk to you. You have a great show tonight.
Thank you.
Well, I've been listening to you since you came on at ABC.
Oh, you're in New York?
I'm in New Jersey.
I'm in
New York.
Okay.
And your show is great. I wish it was on the whole 5-6 hours or whatever.
Well, it's 5 hours, and they have morning shows and stuff.
I know. We only get 3 hours of it, but it's a great show. You got coming up all night tonight. I have a question for Robert. My question is, what else does he see for the Northeast area, like New York and New Jersey area? I live up here.
Weather-wise, you're going to start to shift into very long winters up there, very severe winters up there. You're going to have a lot of problems with water, and you're going to have a lot of problems with the collapse of the social systems there, especially as we start to move into this new European dollar, debit dollar thing. We have to move in very shortly to this computerized means of money, because that's the way they've got it set up. It's almost like it was deliberately forethought. But basically, your main problems over there are going to have to do with the earth, with the pollution. A lot of pollution. A lot of disease is going to break out along there with the viruses. It's going to be rough to do that unless you get a source of clear water and unless you start learning how to grow your own food again. Can't rely on what they're feeding us in the supermarkets.
Where can a person get good water? I mean, because I know the water is like really, the tap water is really bad. I get bottled water, but I mean, where else can a person get water other than bottled water? You think get wells or?
Try to get wells.
And that's it, or what else? Anything else, or?
You can try to get the bottled water for as long as it's there, but what are you going to do once the supermarkets don't have the water?
That's a good point.
And, because I could tell the water is already polluted in New Jersey where I live. Everybody buys the bottled water.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think that's pretty prevalent no matter where you travel these days.
And as for the ice storms, we had a bad ice storm for 6 days with it was raining ice for days, and we had no electricity already for 6 days and six nights.
Wow.
So it was horrendous on the whole East Coast about 2 years ago. So I think that
you're getting a Beijing radio.
one of the prophecies came through already. But you have a great show, Art, and keep up the great work.
Take care, my friend. All right, west of the Rockies, you're on the air with Robert Ghostwolf. Hi. Hello there.
Hello.
Hi.
This is Whispering Oak in Camp Colorado, and I have been approached, or a friend of mine was approached, by a man called Caligastia, and he says that the truth has not come out about the Sacred Valley. And I would like to know, what do you think about what he says, Ghostwolf?
What I think about that is that there's much too much negativity.
Mm-hmm. That's what we felt.
The perceptions that the person is putting upon what the truth is. And that's all I really want to say about it. The truth hasn't come out only because it hasn't been thoroughly investigated, which is an ongoing situation, and there are more places that reflect to that. I can't help people who want to hold on to doom and gloom, because that's not necessarily the picture.
I just wanted you to confirm our feelings about what he had told us, and I appreciate it very much.
All right, thank you very much, ma'am, for your call, and take care. Diplomacy, that's good. First time caller line, you're on the air with Robert Ghostwolf.
Hi, I'm calling from San Diego.
Okay, you're going to have to pick up a real phone. You must be on a
Some sort of speakerphone. Bugs Bunny.
Yeah, Bugs Bunny. Well, pick up the real phone, if you would, please, for us.
The only problem is it's the only one I have.
You only have a Bugs Bunny?
Yeah. See, I can't afford very much.
All right.
Well, cheap store.
Okay, so talk into Bugs closely, and we'll see what we can do.
Okay. First of all, I just want to say this is the best show I've ever heard you done. You do. And also for Robert Gosewolf.
Yes.
I wanted to ask you about the Ravi rock, the prophecy rock.
Mm-hmm.
I have in a book, Meditations with the Hopi,
mm-hmm.
I have there's a couple of pictures. There's like a swastika and a sun type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then there seems to be like a dress or a woman's dress and a baseball cap kind of design.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if you know anything about that.
About the baseball cap?
Yeah, or it looks like a woman's
dress. Well, I think
dress.
That refers to what you're speaking of, because we're not looking at the picture. But what you're referring to is the pahana, which will be known by a red robe or wearing these red hats. And that's got to do with the prophecies of the light that comes from the north, the night that reunites the people and brings about a new way during a time where it appears that we almost fall into total devastation.
Bugs Bunny telephones, I think that marks the near end myself. Wild card line, you're on the air with Robert Gosewolf. Hello.
Hi, this is Casey from Nashville, Tennessee.
Hello, Casey.
Hi. Number one, I just want to say real quickly, and then I'll ask my question. I am 22 years old. So I'm fairly young, and so many people my age, and just as society in general, but especially people my age, are so uninformed about what is going on. And when you try to talk to them about these things, they just kind of look at you like you're crazy. And I've read your book, The Quickening, and I listen to your show all the time and have introduced it to a lot of my friends. And
thank
I
you.
Want to thank you for making the information that you have available to us.
Thank you.
So I want to ask Mr. Gosewolf, I feel really disheartened and apprehensive about all the things that I'm hearing here. And, I mean, anybody that listens to this would. But I'm wondering, do you see any part of our world that is going to, like, survive this in any normal fashion? Or, I mean, is everything just going to collapse?
Fair question.
There's going to be many areas where people are going to take a stand and start to turn the tide back the other way.
Mm-hmm.
These things that happen, and the purpose of prophecy, you know, prophecy basically is to warn. It's like, this is what the weather looks like. There's a storm coming in.
Mm-hmm.
The purpose of prophecy is not ever to say, this is absolutely the way it is. What it's saying is that this is coming. If you know that a severe storm is coming, then you have the means to prepare for it.
Right.
If you don't know that it's coming, then you're taken by surprise.
Right.
Many of the people who will suffer greatly with what we're going to go through as far as physical cataclysmic earth changes, as they start to intensify, will be those who didn't listen.
Right.
Those who are uninformed to get swept away. All of a sudden, it's like, wow, what do I do? I don't have any water. What do I do? I can't eat my vegetables. So what is it's like there's so much information coming out now that's giving us all of the tools that we need to prepare for what's going to happen. But to hide our heads in the sand and use ostrich medicine isn't going to work.
Okay. Let me ask you this. Where can I look or what can I read? I'm assuming that maybe your books cover this, and if not, briefly tell me if you have time. What are the things that we need to be doing? I'm an individual. I'm not a part of any major organization. I don't have a big team of people behind me. So what do I need to do as a person?
There's a lot in my books. Or you can get
there
a book
are? Okay.
Called the Hopi Survival Book.
Okay.
These will give you a lot of basics.
Okay.
Or you can read Mother Earth News.
Mother Earth News. Okay, well, I think we've covered everything I need to know at this point.
Thank
and thank you once again.
Thank you.
Okay,
take care. Bye. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Robert Gosewolf. Hi.
Hey, good morning, Art. How you doing?
Fine. Where are you?
I'm calling you all the way from St. Thomas in the Virgin Islands, your WSTU affiliate.
All right. Good morning, Virgin Islands.
Hey, listen, you guys, you get me thinking, you get me scared, you get me worried, but I can't stop listening.
It's the way it is for me too, sir.
Yeah, I'd like to ask Mr. Goldswolfer, what does he see for our area? Caribbean, you know, Puerto Rico, Virgin Islands, things like that.
Well, a lot of the places there probably going to turn out you'll be on a mountaintop, literally. There's going to be, you know, there's always a lot of activity down there. There's always storms. There's always things going on. But I think, you know, I wouldn't get too close to the beach. But no. You're going to suffer a lot of wind storms down there, and the rains will become torrential down there. So you're going to have a lot of uprooting of trees and that kind of thing. But basically, a lot of those places are going to be fairly highly protected.
Well, that's good.
Where you are in St. Thomas is not a bad place to be at all.
Really?
Neither is Puerto Rico, except for the military base over there.
Wow. So I was thinking, how about like moving inside Mother Earth, as they say, like, you know, underground in areas like this?
If you move into rock.
Yes, solid rock.
You know, if you move into the mud, well, it's not really going to protect you.
No, well, you know, it's pretty mountainous and pretty hard rock here, you know? Mm-hmm.
And I think that the other thing is, you know, as you get closer to nature and literally try to communicate, you're going to find that she responds. You know, it's like when you have a garden and you love what you're growing, everything seems to grow. I mean, the Hopi grow corn without water. So if they can do that without water, you can communicate with where you are, and you'll be told more or less, this is what you need, this is a good thing to do. The main problem with people is they've shut themselves off from themselves, never mind the earth.
This much is for sure. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. You take care, my friend, all the way from the Virgin Islands. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Robert Ghostwolf. Hello.
Hello, Art Bell. This is Dr. Singh.
Dr. Singh, I can barely hear you.
Well, can you hear me now?
Not very well.
This phone is giving up on me, too.
Yeah, it is giving up. Very quickly, do you have a question?
Yes, Ghostwolf. I have a question.
Yes, go ahead. Go ahead.
Ghostwolf, first thing, this is Dr. Singh.
Hello, Dr. Singh.
I'd like to thank you for getting your wife, Laura Lee, to communicate with me.
Thank you.
We
have a little more work to do.
Yes, I most certainly do. I'm looking from the Sanskrit text in India.
Yes.
And it's... prophecies in connection to what is happening out here.
Yes.
They speak about similar things, catastrophic things back in the 50s. They started releasing this information. And in a lot of the prophecies, they speak about similar changes around the world.
Right.
Now, what I wanted to ask you about is, if you looked at any of the Eastern
religions. All right. I suppose it's a valid question, but you're not a biblical scholar. You're an expert on Native American prophecy. And have you looked at Eastern religions?
I read a lot of the Vedas, and there's very close parallels between what they have to say. Also, a lot of the solutions lie in the Ayurvedic texts, in the way healing will go, the way medicine, if we call it medicine, is actually healing, the way it will work. They're very advanced in the understanding of energies and why things affect us the way they do, and how our bodies are in balance or not in balance, and how diet affects us. And so they're very, very accurate.
All right. First-time caller line, you're on the air with Robert Ghostwolf. Hi.
Yeah, hi. This is Jeff calling from Vancouver, British Columbia.
Hi, Jeff.
I have a question. In the area that I live in, or Alberta, I'm considering moving to Alberta, which would be the better place to go?
Alberta's a good place. It's the grandmother land. That's going to become the breadbasket of the world.
Really?
Oh, that I like to hear.
It's the grandmother land.
Okay. That's all I have to ask.
Well, all right. That's a good, straightforward answer. The breadbasket of the world, huh?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Wild card line, you're on the air with Robert Ghostwolf. Hi.
Hi, Art Bell?
Yes.
It's a pleasure to speak to you and Mr. Ghostwolf.
Welcome, sir. Where are you?
I'm calling from central Minnesota. My name is Peter.
Okay.
And I have a quick comment and a question.
Fire away.
Fire away. Mr. Ghost Wolf, I have sort of an idea of clairvoyant, this sort of prophecies more along the lines of four or five dimensional kinds of thinking. Okay. Have you ever heard that idea?
Yes.
And then the other comment was, have you ever heard of the author Alan Alford?
No, I'm not familiar with that.
This came out, well, many months ago in Britain. It was on the bestseller list for a long time, and he's basically compiled all of the Zachariah Sitchin work and taken the work further and explains how the Great Pyramid functioned in very ancient times, functioned as a machine.
Yes, it does.
It's a book called Gods of the New Millennium. And I highly recommend that you try and acquire it and perhaps get him as a guest on the show.
All right. I appreciate the advice. As far as the pyramid being a machine, we discussed that earlier. That is Danyon's view as well. I don't know that I absolutely believe that, but there is something completely inexplicable about the pyramid. There's no question about that. Robert, hold on. We're at the bottom of the hour. And for clarity, every now and then I do this. I am presently in a chat room on AOL in a place called the Grassy Knoll. And if you would like to join us there, you certainly are welcome to. Just log on to AOL, go to keyword, you just click on keyword and type in Art Bell, A-R-T-B-E-L-L. You'll go to the Grassy Knoll, click on the where it says Grassy Knoll, and you can come on in. I've been there for a little while. Generally, when people are in there, somebody has sent me some emails that there was an impersonator in there. So I thought, and indeed that was an impersonator, but I'm there now. So there you are. If you'd like to come into a chat room where I'm located, it's the Grassy Knoll on AOL. Remember, just go to keyword, type in Art Bell, and whoosh, along you come to the Grassy. The Grassy Knoll, is that a name for a chat room or what? From the high desert, this is Coast to Coast AM.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from May 27, 1998. On Premier Radio Networks. Tonight's an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from May 27, 1998.
And as I told you earlier, love, beyond any shadow of any doubt, is the strongest force in the universe. All right, we're in the stretch run now with Robert Ghost Wolf. Robert, are you there?
We're here.
All right, here we go.
Your people might be interested, and I'm going to be talking to the, you're talking about the Art Bell Chat Club.
Oh, yes.
And I'm going to be in Seattle with the Art Bell Chat Club in July.
You're kidding.
Yeah, and then in September, I'm going to be down in Phoenix with the Art Bell Chat Club down there.
Wow.
And I'll be bringing out some new information, new prophecies, and some new information on what's going on with, you know, the healing and whatnot, because I've sort of taken a year off from public appearances because I'm working very hard putting these healing centers together up here. And then I'm going to be with David Oates at the Sky Festival, July 18th and 19th down in San Diego.
Whew.
We're going to pull him out of the closet.
All right.
It won't burn you out.
All right. First time caller line, you're on the air with Robert Ghostwolf. Hello.
Hello. I have a question for each of you, if I may.
You may.
First, Mr. Bell, what does it take to get a refund from SciTech? I haven't heard from them after I sent my module back about 2 months ago.
Well, first of all, as far as I know, I have no idea what the refund policy is. I don't recall that there was any guaranteed refund, so I can't answer your question. There certainly was never one advertised.
Well, I wish I knew what to do, because I don't get any kind of response, and I sent it in, and I don't get anything.
Well, what you should have done without, in other words, if somebody, when they advertise, they don't say it's guaranteed return policy of some sort, or refund, you should always write a letter first.
I did, and I also called, and I can't get hold of a human being, and I can't get a response. Please spell your guest's last name.
Go ahead, Robert. Spell it for her.
G-H-O-S-T, as in ghost. And
yes.
O-L-F, as in wolf.
W-O-L-F?
Yes, wolf, as in wolf.
Okay, what do you think of the area of Eureka, Illinois? That's between Peoria and Bloomington.
I think that you should get a hold of some organic seeds.
Wheat?
Wheat, but make sure they're organic. Make sure they're old seeds. There's a lot of hybrid things going on there.
Well, can I get it right from the farmer?
Most of the farmers in that area, to my knowledge, have hybrid seeds. And you can't regrow crops from that. But there are a lot of areas that you could research where they still sell those kinds of seeds.
Mm-hmm.
You're in a big flat area that's filled with a lot of commercial farming and a lot of commercial fertilizer.
Oh, yes.
You know, so I would definitely start a little garden.
How do I search for this organic seed?
There are several magazines you could get. You could get, like, the Herb Quarterly. They usually have that down at most better newsstands or bookstores. And there's a few of them there near your area.
So you can still get good organic seeds.
If the government has their way, we're not going to be able to in 6 months.
What?
They've put new restrictions on organic seeds. They're controlling all organic seeds. It's full-bore in Canada through an organization called CODEX, which basically CODEX, C-O-D-E-X, which is basically the UN, which is where they're trying to control the growth of all herbs everywhere. You can't even go into Canada now with comfrey. It's considered a felony.
You're kidding.
No, if you try to cross the border from America over there, you can't bring it. They confiscate it. They impound your car. It's a little bit bizarre.
Wow. The war on herbs, huh?
The war on herbs.
Wildcard line, you're on the air with Robert Ghostwolf. Hello.
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 Hi, this is Donna from Pomona, California.
Hello, Donna.
Hi, this is the first time listening to your show, and I wish I would have heard about it a lot sooner.
Well, we've been here a long time.
Yeah. I was interested in a question for Ghostwolf.
Sure.
About a year ago, I started meditation, so I've done a lot of meditation and healing energy and all that. What I was wondering is there a healing group in the area that is familiar with, like, Ghost Wolf's prophecies and whatnot to help heal the planet?
In your area?
Yeah, in Pomona, California.
I don't know. I don't start groups.
No.
So
the reason I was wondering, in the meditation group that I am in, we were doing...
I mentioned several things in my books, which are basically very simple and very undogmatic. They don't take on anybody's particular philosophy, because it depends on where you're coming from with them, but they're basic principles that can be applied very simply even by a child,
uh-huh.
which can help you change your frequency and your perception of self. It all comes down to L-O-V-E.
Right, right.
And I don't know if you're familiar with Danyon Brinkley, but he can speak quite well about what prayers and love can do.
Who is that? Danyon
Brinkley. He's a frequent guest. You'll get to hear him. Don't worry.
Okay.
All right?
And can I share a quick poem that I wrote a couple months ago with Gus Goswolf?
I would prefer that you send it, if you wouldn't mind.
Oh, no problem.
Okay? Thank you very much, and take care. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Robert Goswolf. Hi.
Good morning, actually.
It's definitely morning.
Yes, it is indeed. This is Tim in Orlando.
Yes, sir.
And Yatahei, Robert.
Yatahei.
I just thought I'd say hello. I wanted to ask you about New Mexico. I sent you some faxes. Art, I understand you bought land in New Mexico, too.
Yes.
May I ask whereabouts?
Yep. I call it Edge World. It's east of Albuquerque at about 7,000 feet.
Oh, up around Moriarty?
Edgewood, actually.
Edgewood, okay.
Yeah.
It's interesting. There's a lot of people starting to find this state. For me, it's an old family type thing. I go back many generations in New Mexico, and I feel kind of indigenous in a way, too.
Now, I call it Edge World. I just joke about
it. It's a good word.
Yeah, it is.
It's way up there if you get up on Sandia.
That's right.
My area is up around Raton and Cimarron, and I'm wondering if that area, if you've got any kind of insight into that there, Robert.
Good question. I'll second that. How about that area?
You know, if you're up in the Sandias, you have a lot of good water.
That's
if you're
right.
Up north of Taos, you have a lot of good water. The problem with a lot of New Mexico, because I lived there for close to 15 years outside of Santa Fe, and the problem with a lot of New Mexico is you have hundreds, if not thousands, of miles of underground tunnels that the government installed, and they put a lot of pollutants and whatnot that they buried in there. The trains would come in all the time at 3 o'clock in the morning, and they would dump their refuse right on the side of the road by the reservations, or they would take it, and then trucks would come and bury it in these tunnels. And the thing is that you have a lot of radioactivity going on in the water. So I would say check out your water. Have your water tested and see what it's like in the area. And also turn around and take a look at the wildlife. See if it's healthy and abundant, and what are the trees like? You know, like New Mexico's
sure.
got its own unique
sure.
kind of forest, you know. First time I ever saw a New Mexico forest and looked at 3-foot-tall trees, I wondered how big the cows were, you know. But, because they must be real little, you know. But it's like, check the water and check the way things are growing. If there's an abundance of wildlife, if there's an abundance of birds singing, you're probably in a safe area.
All right. Well, that's a really good test to bear in mind. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Robert Goswolf. Hi. Hello there. Going
Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm from New Mexico.
All right, for you.
And I was wondering, all this bad stuff I've heard tonight about people are going to freeze to death and they're going to get diseases and they're going to die the government's going to go broke and we're going to be in a melahass, if you call it.
Mm-hmm.
And so what can you do to prepare for anything like that?
Well, I guess that's a fair question. General preparation type stuff, Robert?
Well, most people in New Mexico are pretty ornery and self-sufficient.
Yeah, they are.
And, like I said, I lived there a long time, and there's a lot of great pockets in New Mexico. As far as people freezing to death and diseases, well, actually, it's not prophecy anymore. It's happening.
Yeah.
And, you know, in the area that you're in, I think your winters are getting a little more severe. I think the winters down in New Mexico are getting pretty severe. At the same time, there's a lot of gentle areas. You have a lot of little microclimates down in there. And you're dealing with some very old spirits and some very old places that are pretty okay. But it depends on where you go. You just have to be, you know, discerning about where you go. If you go to a place and the economy's really busted and people are dying and trees are not growing and people are getting weird growths and cancer. It's the basic thing in New Mexico is to think about the water. But at the most part, you still have enough of the wilderness and you can live off most of the land in New Mexico.
That's right. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Robert Goswolf. Where are you, please?
In Oklahoma. And a pleasant good morning to both of you gentlemen.
Yes, sir. Good morning to you.
I was curious earlier in the show,
I wanted to make sure I didn't misunderstand you. What date you said that was in August for the eclipse? Or was it you talking about the planetary alignment?
No, talking about August 22nd.
Uh-huh. And that was for the...
There's going to be a major eclipse that could last up to 52 hours, maybe longer. And you've got at least five planets coming into alignment. I don't have the map sitting in front of me.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you say alignment, do you mean a conjunctive alignment or just the alignment like they are now?
No, we're talking about a straight line. They're all coming into a straight line. So the pulls and the pushes is like, you know, how the moon affects tides and things here. And whenever you have an eclipse or whenever you have planets coming into an alignment, you have strange things going on. You have strange emotions going on. You have strange things going on with weather. So I think it's going to be really interesting to watch compiled with what's been going on with the nuclear blast that they're doing, and they're I mean, how far can you push the Earth? She's reacting right now.
I can't disagree with that. The only thing I can disagree with is if it was me and I was going to look for an annular eclipse, I'd look the day before.
All right. Thank you very much for the call, and good morning. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Robert Ghostwolf. Hello.
Yes, this is Olin in Culver City, California.
Yes, sir.
I was just wanting to ask if all of these planets being in alignment behind us and the sun in front of us, if that's causing seismic strains in the Earth's surface as we rotate, because that might be activating all these volcanoes underwater and underground.
Well, maybe. Certainly there are strains caused by those alignments. There's no question about that.
One body affects another body. But we don't have enough information on Earth yet to give a clear, precise diagnosis of exactly what it's causing. But these planets are shifting, and they're shifting their orbits. They're shifting their positions. The whole solar system is moving, so... I would say, without a question of a doubt, it's affecting things here.
I would agree. First time caller line, you're on the air with Robert Ghostwolf. Hi.
Hello.
Hi. Call us toll free at 1-800-618-8255. Okay, we're going to have to start again. We don't allow last names on the air, so...
Oh.
I'm sorry about that. Again, your name is Ron, and you're in Superior, Wisconsin. We'll have to go with that.
Yes.
Okay, turn your radio off, please, again.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah, this is Ron in Superior, Wisconsin.
Right.
And I'd like to have some information basically what's going to be going on around here in Wisconsin, around the Superior area.
I'm not familiar exactly where that is.
It's right by Duluth, Minnesota, right across the water from Duluth, Minnesota.
Okay, well.
In Superior.
You're not that far from a lot of herbs, you know. You have a lot of things growing up there. There'll be a lot of resources for you to gather from when things get crazy.
Yeah.
So you're in a relatively good place, and there's a lot of, I know I have a lot of Ojibwa friends up there, and there's some very good places to be up there. But if you're too close to the lake, you're going to get a little wet.
Yeah, I heard there's supposed to be like, the lake is supposed to flood over. And it's supposed to come over. It's supposed to flood Superior. It's supposed to.
They're
going to
flood over into each other and create one big lake.
Oh.
So I'd avoid shorefront property.
Maybe I should be living across on the other side of the lake, up on top of the hill in Duluth. That would be good. You know, they're up on top of the hill. I figure they're safe there.
So high ground is good.
Oh, high ground is good.
If you're living near the water, if what you know, they're going to go up at least 200 feet.
Excuse me?
Shorelines, you're going to go up 200 feet. Lakes are not excluded.
200 feet.
The oceans will go up at least 200 to 300 feet. That was in one of the prophecies.
Okay. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Robert Ghostwolf. Hello.
Yeah, good morning. It's Rick in Mississauga listening on 610 CKTV.
Where are you again, sir?
Mississauga, Ontario.
Okay. Oh, Ontario. Okay.
Yeah, just outside Toronto.
Yes, sir.
What about this area?
There's going to be a lot of seismographic activity up in that area. But again, a lot of Canada is going to be spared a lot of devastation, from my understanding, because it is the grandmother land. British Columbia will be hit very hard. and I'm not sure exactly where your area is. I'm not that familiar with little places in Canada, so forgive me.
Toronto is pretty big, actually.
Yeah, we're just outside of Toronto, off of Lake Ontario.
Right. Mm-hmm. So near Lake Ontario. So some of what you just heard a few moments ago would apply.
Meaning the Great Lakes will spill over and make one big lake. So, yeah, and that's, you know, understand that that kind of an occurrence is going to cause, there's got to be a lot going on for that to happen. So you probably have a lot of rain, amongst other things. That's what causes land to shift, is young mountain ranges and loose soil. It makes everything slide, like they're seeing right now down in Peru. The things that are going on in Peru are almost apocalyptic, but people
the
aren't
here
aware
of it. We're sort of surrounded by nuclear reactors with our atomic power plants here, right? Because
well, that would be a good reason for me to consider moving.
Yeah, well, the problem is we're surrounded by them. You know, we've got one up on Lake Huron, two down here on Lake Ontario, and there's one up in the Ottawa area, up on the Ottawa River. So we're in, you know, dead ground here.
Nuclear power plants and earth changes don't go together.
No, not at all. So another aspect you may want to consider, and listeners may want to consider, is keeping away from pipelines. Gas pipelines and oil pipelines, because
absolutely the Southwest is going to be hit pretty hard with that stuff.
Yeah. Yep. I appreciate your call, sir, and we are woefully, completely, utterly out of time. But we do have time, because I reserved it away, for you to get the information out on your books one more time, Robert.
They can get the books and the information, and the information is constantly being upgraded. And the books are now also being carried by Barnes & Noble and most of the big bookstores.
Oh, they are?
Yeah, they're all over the place. Huh?
Oh, excellent. I didn't know that. When did you get them into the bookstores?
About 6 weeks ago to 8 weeks ago, they went into started going into all the bookstores. And for some reason, Art, they're putting me right next to you.
That's absolutely excellent. All right, Robert, thank you so very much. We'll do it again, of course.
And I'll let you know what happens in Arizona.
Please do. We'll be in touch.
Thank you.
Good night, my friend. That is Robert Ghostwolf. And I'm Art Bell, and I'm sorry, but the clock says we are out of time. That's the Zeitclock. So, tomorrow, I think you're going to be interested in what we've got coming. It's Don Zadel, who wrote a book called American Man Killers, about animal attacks on humans drastically increasing from the high desert. Good night.